and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for SOAS by SOAS. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, we have the lovely Elizabeth with Handmade by Elizabeth. Hi!
Hi!
We're Yay! So excited to have you. I am so excited. So pumped to talk to you. But before we kind of fangirl over you and all the wonderful things you make, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and all the beautiful things you create?
Sure. So my name is Elizabeth. I have been a crafter my entire life. I started crocheting when I was about 8 years old. Pretty much that's when I knew that if there was something that could be made with my hands, I would want to try it out. So yeah. I've been doing that for a really long time. And then I kind of took a break from crafting except for a cross stitch while I was in school. And now that I've sort of made my way back to the Midwest and have actual space for crafting tools, I took up baking and cake decorating. And I did that as kind of a side hustle for a while. And then after I had kids, I wanted something to channel that energy into, but that like didn't expire in the kitchen so I could take long breaks from it. And I started sewing again. And I have been really focused on making bags and like dresses for myself lately. And my husband's always daring me to do things. So one day he was like, you need to just start sharing your stuff on social media. And so I posted like a 7 second video. It was like a 7 second video on TikTok. And then the rest is weird history.
Weird history. I love it. Well, kudos to your husband for encouraging you. It's always wonderful to hear that when someone has a partner that supports their craft, their hobby, their interest, and they understand the value of it and they see how good you are. I mean, that's awesome. So I'm glad he encouraged you to do that and take that leap, or else, you know, I wouldn't have met you and we wouldn't be here today. So give him a high five from us after this.
I will. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Well, that's good. I'm glad you married a good guy.
But I think before we dive in a little more about what you make, because bags, garments, baking, I've seen all these things that you do. It's phenomenal. I think Ashley has a little bone to pick with you. Because we got your bio that you sent to us and you shared some information about who you are outside of all your crafting and hobby. Like, you know, your family, you've got two kids and then you've got a job, a full-time job. And I think that kind of surprised Ashley because of all the things that you do in the crafting world. She's like, how does she have time?
Well, I just felt like she was a little bit of an imposter because I was like, who is this crafty girl? And then she is a... What are you?
I'm a full-time plus litigation attorney.
What? Those two don't go together.
I know.
But you know what? You're not our first attorney.
You are, right? Which is another interesting thing.
Because we tend to repeat
ourselves to each other. So I know that there are quite a few, but it's like a thing.
It's you got to have that like a balance, right?
I have to say you do a very good job of like separating work and craft.
Well,
like, you know what I mean? Like it's like some people really mix like this is my life and, you know, and they show. But I mean, but I had no idea. So when I got your bio, I was like, Ashley, did you know this about Elizabeth? I did not know this. I did not see that coming. I mean, that's super cool. I mean, hello. But then I'm like, how does she have time?
Yeah.
To like make all these bags and these awesome videos and edit them beautifully. I mean,
plus I'm just, kids, plus work. Yeah,
we bow down. Yeah. We are impressed. So law school, was that when you were took a break from crafting?
Yeah, I'm very vague about that sort of thing.
When I was cross-stitching, I kind of went to school for like a minute. And it was kind of hard, but
it's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean,
like, it just passed the bar. And, you know.
It's like a big joke with everybody that like I went to school with, that for my undergrad especially, like if you ask us where we went to school, we'll tell you where, but never like the school name. And then there's just like this whole cycle of, you have to like pull teeth to get it out of us. And I just forever have not been somebody who like drops that stuff in to conversation, except when it's like the best.
You're like very strategic.
Yeah. I mean, so this is, I think, the part of the reason why I've been so successful with hosting lives on TikTok is because I'll tell these stories that you don't get from my content. You don't get it from like my Instagram account or anything like that. And people are always just like, what? I don't really think about it, but I'm just like chatting and sewing and like trying to fill the airspace because I don't like be very like quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's what happens. All my secrets come out in the middle of the night.
I feel like that I can't just like sew quietly on a TikTok live. I need to say something. So it's a perfect opportunity for story time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, you're not our first attorney. Amy that owns Dibby Club is also, she's a corporate attorney. And so she has that side of her life as well. And you know, it's interesting. I feel like a lot of creatives get into corporate, but they need that balance. They need that outlet to kind of balance a stressful job or being in an office or corporate life, you know. And I'm, even though I have a creative job, I still have a corporate job. And so yes, it kind of, I need that balance. Like when I was in HR and a recruiter, I needed that balance. And so mm-hmm. I totally get like needing to like have something completely separate that you can mm-hmm. focus on and disconnect from what happened at the office that day or wherever the courtroom. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. I totally get it though. Totally get it. Now you have two kids. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes. I have a 7-year-old who thinks she's 17 and she is going to be an artist. Even if it's not what she does all the time, she has that in her. She like needs to be drawing or coloring or not sewing yet because she thinks it's super lame. She'll ask me to make her a ton of things. She was in here this morning with costume ideas that I have to make for her and make for
Halloween?
Her Halloween. No, just for every day.
Mm-hmm. Just your dress up.
Yeah. Some character on YouTube from Minecraft. And she's like, I need pants that are black and a top that's, and you have to make me a mask. And I'm like,
made to order.
Yeah.
Just go to mom.
She does that, but she's also really into martial arts. So she's super excited to be testing for her first deputy belt in Taekwondo.
Very cool.
I'm shocked that she enjoys this, but she really does. So that's nice. And then I have a 4-year-old boy. And he just, I don't even know where to begin with him. He's got the biggest personality, and I don't even say like in a tiny body because he's built like a linebacker. I mean, that kid came out like fully grown. He was 10 pounds, 2 ounces, 22 and a half inches with like a full 30-year-old man's head of hair. And we were at dinner one night recently and he said to a friend of mine, the last time I was here, I was the ruler of the world. And we were all just like,
like in his previous lifetime?
The last time he was here, he was the ruler of the world.
Okay.
And we were like, really? And he's like, yeah, I was like a grown up and, you know, I was in charge of everybody.
I would be digging so deep with that. Let's talk about
this. He's going to be president one day.
He says the weirdest things. I mean, he comes out of nowhere with these crazy stories. He came down the other day. He's like, Mom, I didn't sleep well. I didn't have a good... He's 4 and he's actually talking like this, okay? It's not me like translating for him. He's like, I didn't sleep well. And I'm like, what happened, buddy? And he goes, I had this dream that there was water coming in everywhere and it was flooding. And I was a grown man and my kids were locked in my truck. And I couldn't get them out to save them. And I was like,
oh my God. That's intense.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So that's
guy. You need to start writing these down or filming these moments. You could make a book out of this. That's crazy.
I do. I try to write down a lot of the crazy stuff that they say to me. I was better about it when I was bullet journaling, but lately, I'm just like, make a note because it's insane.
That's wild. Yeah, I feel like some kids are just mature beyond their years at such an early age. They're like little old souls. And you're just like, where did you where did you get this like wisdom? Mm-hmm. Like Brock was kind of like that when he was younger, and he loved having conversations with adults more than kids. And he would have conversations with adults, and then he would ask them like, well, how much tax did you just have to pay on that? Or, you know, like, and he would do the math in his head and be like, did your tax come out to this much based on the tax rate in the state of Tennessee? And this is how much you spent. Like, I'm like, just look at my receipt. I don't even know. I just swipe my card. Like, he's just like,
oh my God.
He just always really knew more than, and I'm just kind of like, well, where did you learn that?
Yeah.
And he just listen. They just listen. Yeah. Some kids just listen more, and then it just clicks, and then he just reverberates that conversation in other ways, and it makes sense. And I'm just like,
who is this?
It's wild. It's wild. Now, maybe your daughter or even your son might show some interest in sewing in the future. So, I mean, at least they get to see what you create, and that you have this outlet that you can enjoy, you know, outside of full-time job and working and all of that. But I mean, kudos to you for somehow balancing all of it. I didn't realize your kids were so young. So you're, I mean, I just keep like going.
Well, four is still like a handful.
Yeah.
I think up until like what, 7, 8?
It's still very dependent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, now I like wake up and like I'm laying in bed alone and I'm like, am I alone? Where are my kids? Because they just like wake up and go and do what they want to do.
They go make their own breakfast.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I know. There are perks to that, though. There are perks to that. Now my kid like mows the yard for me. So.
Yeah. Jack wants to mow the yard so bad.
Yeah. Well, so you said you got into crafting and at a very early age, but one of the things that kind of also surprised me that I learned about you as we were preparing for today's podcast is your baking. Before we talk about all the sewing you do, like this isn't just like bake a pie or some brownies, y'all. This is like beautifully decorated custom cookies and cakes and like all, like tell us a little bit about that. Do you still do any of that?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think like, why did it even start? We had these really long breaks in college. Like I think we had 2 weeks for spring break, which maybe is not that long for other people, but it seemed long to me. And so I'd come home and have like nothing to do, because it's not like I was going to go work or whatever. And so everybody was at work like for their jobs, and I was home alone, and I just started baking things. And one of the things that happened when I was home over the summers was just like when my one niece, who was actually born just like a few days after I left for college, would have a birthday. And so I'd help my sister prep her birthday. And I started by like making her a Hello Kitty cake. And the cake was like shaped in the head of Hello Kitty. I made her a Monster High cake. So I think it started with cakes first, right?
Yeah.
And then when I came home from law school and I moved in with my husband, I was on YouTube one night. And I saw a video of someone decorating a cookie with royal icing. And I was like, oh.
It's so
fun. I could sit and watch those videos all day. I've never tried it. I've always wanted to.
That is a serious like art and craft.
It's so cool. It's so satisfying to watch those videos.
I saw it and I was like, I am going to try that. And I just like went out and bought the things, and I tried like the techniques that I was watching from this one woman. It's Sweet Ams. You probably heard of her.
Oh, yep. She pops up on mine all the time.
Yeah. So this was back in 2011. Like, I don't think that there were nearly as many cookie decorators on social media back then as there are now, because now it's like insane how many there are.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, but there weren't as many. So there were like a few big ones that I followed, and I actually started my own blog at that point where I had cakes and cookies and stuff online. And I always start off just wanting to do it for me, but then there's this
somebody asks
everyone around you to like monetize it, like, oh
yeah,
you can sell those on the side. And it was just me and my husband, and I didn't have like other obligations besides the big job. I started making like cakes and cookies, like coordinating a cake with cookies for people's birthdays. And I'd make, you know, a decent like chunk of pocket change doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any numbers so I don't trigger tax liabilities, but I had fun with it until it just like was too much. And so I sort of started winding it down, and I eventually closed down my blog. And so I only did it for just like family events when I felt like it. And then when my daughter was born, it definitely just became, I make it for my kids' birthdays and like go crazy. And I make it for my godchildren. Mm-hmm. And here and there I'll do some stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I still do it, but not nearly as often as I used to do it.
Yeah.
But I took like all the online classes. I taught Wilton courses at Michael's for a while.
What?
Yes. Like, I love it when you like decide to try something, you like, you like master it. Like, you go from like, I've never tried this before to I'm now teaching others. Like, it's wild. It's like overnight.
Yeah. I mean, the cake and cookie decorating thing, it went on for a long time. But I definitely would see like a new technique and be like, I need to do that. I want to have an
challenge accepted
of doing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I still like, for my cookies, I'll pull out my airbrush. I'll paint on them with food coloring and alcohol.
Airbrush. She said airbrush, y'all. Yeah, she airbrush cookies.
And then whenever I need a custom cookie cutter, I just have my husband 3D print it for me.
Wow, then. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, he gets my on-demand requests. I take them for garments, and he takes them for anything I need 3D printed. I'm like,
I'll make a couple cakes, and then you can get a 3D printer.
Okay. A trash can for my desk.
That's cute. So cute. Oh, I love the filament, too. Super cute.
We have a 3D printer, and I just...
Do you really?
He's made some stuff for like woodworking and stuff. Like he made like these circle discs that clip into like a cleat on a wall, and it holds like different grit of sandpaper rounds that go in your sander, and they have like the grit number on the front, so you know, like if you have a bunch, you know which one you're grabbing. They don't have to stay in boxes and be unorganized. And so I mean, he's made all sorts of stuff. He made me I don't have it in here. It's a little crate. It's like a mini milk carton crate. And so it's just this big, but it looks like a milk crate. And I put candy in it, and it just sits on my desk. It's like hot tamales are always in it. And so I'll grab it. It's by my computer. It's on my cutting table. It's by the sewing machine. I'll have to take a picture of it. It's really cute. They're fun. They're fun. They just take a little while to run, but he kind of goes between doing that and then like the epoxy, and we have such a small space for him to do that he has to kind of move it out of the way when he does his epoxy molds and then back forth. So we got to get that man a shop. He's got a whole laser in a box he hasn't been able to open because we don't. You probably know what I mean. It's just like they buy the toys. We have the toys. Where is it going to go?
And you can't have him encroaching on your craft space.
He kind of already is, but that's okay. Because he gets like a corner of the laundry room, but what he doesn't realize is I'm about to take over that space again. Because
with the machine.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Okay, wait. We have fun announcement. Bethany has joined the group. Finally, what did you buy?
An industrial sewing machine.
Finally.
I've only been talking about it for like a year. I mean, seriously, since we started this podcast. I mean, Ashley has one. And then
I feel like it's been longer, but I guess not.
So many bag makers we've interviewed. And every time I'm like, oh, and so I've had the itch you know how it is. Like you're just sitting there on the couch scrolling and you're like, let's just see what's on Facebook Marketplace. And it's just, I felt like it was always really old ones.
Yeah.
And I just didn't really want to deal with that.
Well, having to switch out the motor and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. And is it working? Sometimes the tables were like way bigger and I was just like, I don't have a lot of space and I don't really have a lot of time to like invest in like fixing one up. So I decided I would just keep holding out. And when the stars aligned, one would appear and it would work out. And that was yesterday.
Yeah.
That was yesterday. And it was a very much an impulse, a planned impulse purchase, if that makes sense. Like, I have been seeking.
Well, you got to get it while it's hot.
Yeah. She actually had two. She was had retired both of them from her shop, and she had all like three new ones in her shop, her new shop. And so she just needed the space. Mm-hmm. And so she decided to get rid of them. The first one sold instantly. And the second one, actually, someone else had been messaging her about it when I messaged her. And she said, if he doesn't come get it, I'll let you know. And then he just ghosted her. He didn't like message back or anything. It'd been hours and hours and hours. And so she messaged me and I was like, yes, please. So called up dad. I need your truck. You know, like, this isn't going to fit in the back of my Kia. Okay. And so when I told him I was going to go pick up a sewing machine and I needed to borrow a truck, his first question was, how big is this sewing machine?
Yes, exactly. When would you ever need a truck?
A pickup truck. And so we got the truck. We drove about 40, 45 minutes to her shop. She has a beautiful shop space in a little industrial space that she has fixed up. She makes bags, like tons and tons of bags, mostly canvas and cotton bags, but she makes tons of bags. She runs a whole business, and she was so nice and kind of gave me the rundown of how the machine worked. I probably should have filmed it, but I didn't. It's okay. It's actually a 2015 model, yeah. So it's not even that old.
Yeah, you'll be able to find stuff for sure.
Yeah, so...
not like mine. Mine literally is from 50 years old. So
now it's sitting in my studio in front of all my shelving. But I'm super excited. It's here. Mm-hmm. And I so badly just want to plug it in and use it, but I don't... It needs oil. I had to get that. You know, I need to get some new thread. Those kind of things. I just want to make sure I don't do anything wrong.
Elizabeth uses a semi-industrial. Is that what you said that it was called? So which one do you use?
So I sew on the Juki 2010Q, but I also recently purchased an industrial sewing machine.
Did you really?
Okay.
Do you have it already? Yes, right there. So I went to the Sew Magical Expo on the Friday of the expo. And
in the Tennessee one?
Yeah.
We missed each other.
I just missed you. I know. I saw the movie there and I was like, oh, that's too bad because I would have said hi.
Yeah.
We went in on Friday. I did a couple of classes. I did open sewing on industrials. Yeah. Lauren Mormino tried so hard to not sell it to me, but I bought it. that's totally not the purpose of open sewing, I don't think. But Sam sewing machines was there, and I was like, I want, I don't know if you know how serious I am. Like, I want it. How much do you want for it? So I bought it at the show, and we drove it home in the back of our Ford Explorer, luggage and all.
Oh my God.
Okay. So wait, did you have to lay it down?
Yeah. So I said to him, like, do you think it'll fit in the back of an Explorer? He's like, no problem. And so we planned this whole thing. And at the end of the day, my husband comes with the Ford Explorer and we open the trunk and Sam goes, but you didn't say there were two car seats in there. And I was like, oh, duh. But we still got it in. We had to take the machine off the table and like tuck it all the way in the back, and then the table was on its side.
Okay.
And then we did that yesterday. We had the machine on its side in the back of the truck, so it wasn't sticking up out of the bed, and then the machine was actually on the floor in the back seat. Like,
yeah. Oh, I don't even know if I can take mine off. I mean, I could, but I don't know.
This one actually just clips right in. It's like really. Other than
that's
being really heavy.
It's new and cool. Mine's 50 years old. Like, no joke.
It's probably bolted to the table and they've become one at this point.
Exactly, right? Like, the bolts are probably seized. So, well, congratulations. I'm so excited for
that's
your
awesome.
New addition to your family.
You weren't the only one that somehow managed to get one of those home from the Sew Magical Expo. They had a lot to choose from. Did you get the one with the free arm, or did you get the one that's just salt, like, flat to the table?
I got the 15
cylinder.
Yeah.
Oh, it's flat to the table.
Yeah.
Flat.
Yeah. Nice. You what now?
I said it's flat-ish.
Flat-ish. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm super pumped about this. Like, I'm really excited.
Do some lives with Elizabeth. There you go.
I know. I need like all the lessons. I feel like right now I'm just a sponge and I just want to learn all the things. Well, I reached out to Kasaya because, you know, I was at the expo helping her with her booth and everything. And so I've been telling her since before she came onto our podcast that I wanted to learn how to do bags. I really wanted to get in front of an industrial sewing machine again. I've never owned one, but I've worked in shops with them and I went to school with them. And so, but they were like the older ones with like the big motors underneath and just a different beast. But I loved them. And so we've been talking. So I messaged her yesterday a picture of it. I was like, look what I did. And she was so excited. So she said she was going to send me some thread and goodies to get me started. I'm excited. But she told me that we could do like a little live on YouTube together and she can kind of walk me through like how to thread it and how like all the different features.
That's
and
a good
what,
idea.
Yeah, because we'll do it as a live because one, I need to learn. And I'll ask all the questions, but it could be something that someone who just got their first one or is new to it could also learn a lot from. And it's, I feel like it comes across well when you're teaching it to someone else. So we're
especially since you're like a total noob, so you'll be asking every single question.
I mean, new because I've never used this fancy model. Like it's got like stitch regulators and like it's computerized on one part of it. So it's got some things. I'm just like, there's speed controls and I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was telling Ashley how fast or how many stitches it can do in a minute. It was like, she told me it was 4,000 stitches a minute. I was like, I didn't even know that was humanly possible.
Well, it's not. It's machine possible.
What'd you say?
I said it's not. It's machine possible.
And it is machine possible, but I don't think I could even focus fast enough to comprehend.
No. You're doing curtains and stuff, but like, tell me, Elizabeth, do you not sew your slowest when you're making bags? Like, you're very meticulous, making sure your top stitches are perfect. Like, that 4,000 goes to waste.
If I'm doing, like, that's when I would sew really fast is when I worked in the drapery shop. And it was just long.
Like, when you're doing straps, I kind of go a little quick. Because it's, you know, you want to, the faster you go, the more consistent it is. But other than that, I'm going kind of slow. Bethany, hers has the heel lift. I haven't seen that before. Did the new one that you just purchased, does that one have that? Or did it have a knee lift?
True question.
Well, both. So
it's I didn't
both.
Know that was a, okay.
That's so this cool. one can have a knee lift down, too. You can add it.
Lifts the needle. And then the weird thing is I feel like I'm working like a thigh master. I'm so not used to this. Like, I don't even know. Like, am I supposed to be driving with my left foot on the machine now so that I can use my other leg to lift the it's bizarre.
No.
Yeah, it is kind of on the left side.
I just use my right foot. Wait, where's your knee lift? Mine goes from left to right. Like I'm pushing it this way. Okay.
Maybe I'm just like too far over on the machine. We're still getting to know each other, Thor and I.
You can adjust that.
Did you name it?
To bring it to wherever you need to go.
So I just call it Thor. My Juki started acting up the moment I brought Thor into the house.
Wow.
Never gave me an issue. Sews through clear
vinyl. Mad. Angry.
Like nothing. And everyone's like, it's because Juki knows Thor's in there. And it's like getting super upset. And I'm like, I guess so because it's nonsense.
I sat in front of those Thors at the Sew Magical Expo. They're impressive.
They're nice. I need to check these up.
It's really cool. I told my wise son when it came into the house, I said, look, this machine is very heavy duty. Like it's so serious. I said, it can sew through my finger. So it can definitely sew through yours. So like, don't play with it. Don't get the idea that you're going to come in here and like mess around with stuff. And he looks at me and he goes, why would you bring something like that into a house with kids?
Oh, stop it.
Wow.
Okay.
And you are now putting a lock on your sewing room door.
Can you just move it out of here or something? He's like, I don't want to be near it.
I'm going to bite him while he's sleeping.
I mean, I'm very careful. I try to like leave my sewing machines with the needle in, like I move it down, but it's inside. So he's not sticking his finger in because he's a 4-year-old boy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I try to do that, or like some of them are just altogether unplugged, like the ones that I'm not using frequently. And so I just told him, I was like, this one's very serious. Like, I know it looks cool. I know it is
not a toy,
attractive foot pedal, but like, don't mess around. And he hasn't touched it. He's like very
probably
much
scared
like
him about it.
It's probably better this way though.
It is.
Who was it? Nicole, we had in the podcast. Sorry. She was saying that her daughter who was playing underneath the machine. And there's the belt. And I think for like a second, something got like almost got stuck or something. But she was like, okay, nope. Like you cannot be under there when I'm sewing with mine, because you don't realize that the belt could take hair, could take clothes, could take.
Yeah.
Scary. Just be very respectful of the machine, the industrial. It's a car, basically. Like,
it is.
Could kill you.
This could probably go faster than my car, 4,000 stitches a minute. So, I mean, seriously, but I don't know. I just, I'm super, I don't know. I'm just so pumped.
Yeah.
So pumped. And I have so many other things I have to work on right now. And it's just painful to have it sit. I kind of left it where it is because there's shelving behind it. So I can't plug it in right now. But until it gets in its permanent place eventually, but hopefully we can get that figured out in the next couple of weeks so I can start playing with it and just sewing scraps and getting comfortable with it and finding my groove, and then we'll see where it takes me. But because it's only a 2015 model, I mean, I can get like different accessory feed and like all sorts of things for it, so that's the next adventure, is seeing what else I can get with it. But I'm excited.
Yes. And I'm sure, Elizabeth, you make so many different patterns. You can definitely give us your favorites.
Yeah. Beginner projects. And I asked Kasaya the same thing. I was like, I feel like, and I've asked Ashley this too. I'm like, what's a beginner bag? And they're like, well, start with like zipper pouches. And I'm like, but I could have done that on my domestic. Like, I want challenged. And she's like, no, you need to get to know this machine. It's very different. And I'm like, okay, I'll sew some zipper pouches.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Elizabeth says.
Well, so people ask me that question a lot when I'm sewing live, especially. They're like, what can I do as a beginner? Just like, give me a starting point. And what I've been saying lately is to get the Tuesday tote pattern by Knotted Threads Company with the weekend add-on, because it's basically like a dictionary for how to make a bag. She has such great instructions with photos for every step.
Tuesday tote with the everyday add-on, you said?
It's a weekend add-on, is what she calls it.
Nice.
So the concept was that the bag is so simple, you could make it on a random Tuesday night. And so then the weekend add-on's like a little more complicated tote bag.
But you graduated to it.
Yeah, it's really cool because she goes through like how to do a recess pocket, how to do the placket on the top of the pocket, how to do, I think she has a drawstring option. She has how to make it clear. So basically, like, you design your own adventure, right? And then she has the instructions for it. The pattern's like 80 pages long. But it's all very detailed and wonderful.
All the different techniques in one pattern.
Yeah.
Can come out ton of different ways.
Who makes that pattern?
Yeah.
It's Shannon. I don't remember. I can see her last name in my head, but I'm not even going to try to butcher it, but it's Knotted Threads Company.
Oh, right. Yeah, you said that. Knotted Threads
Company. See, now I've got to learn all these bag pattern companies because I've got all the garment pattern companies
like
down.
Swoon, Bagstock, Lynn's Handmade. Like, there's just so many.
Yeah, Ashley's.
I thought you were right there.
And I love what you did with the front zipper pouch. I should have done that.
I mean, you can.
I'm a better pattern maker now than I was when I made that, which wasn't that long ago. But you just evolve, right?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, do you make patterns as well, or do you just sew other patterns?
I just do what I want. I don't make patterns. I have this conversation with my husband all the time because he's like, are you selling bags? Or are you not selling bags? Are you like doing this as a business or not doing this as a business? And I'm like, I just want to have fun. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, share my thing with other people because that's mm-hmm. been fun. And then some days I'll wake up and I'm like, oh, I need to make like 5 clear bags and put them in my Etsy shop. And he's like, are you making bags? Or are you like for other people or are you not? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, really.
but you have a job. So it's not like.
Right. I mean, need... I want it to be fun. And yeah. I told him, like, the moment it stops being fun, I'm yes. just going to back away from whatever that thing is.
I think that's the problem.
I have like a huge backlog. Of videos at this point that I have not edited. Like I've made the bags, I've recorded me making the bags, and I haven't edited them and put them on my social media because editing has become its own.
It's and such so a daunting task. It's like my least favorite part of all of it.
I was telling him, I'm like, my hobby is making bags. It is not editing videos.
He can do it.
So, and I look at him too and I'm like, you want to learn how to edit some videos?
Wink,
and
he's wink. Just like,
I could not.
Maybe your 4-year-old could.
I've already mentioned it to my son too, and I was like, "Would you edit my videos?" And he's like, "Yeah." Mm. I was like, "Well, maybe it's that." I mean, he's 9, so maybe I can start.
Maybe.
What's Brock doing?
I posted a video recently where I made an entire like wedding outfit plus bag and accessories down to like the Apple Watch band cover.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
At the end, I needed like a reveal shot of me, right? Because how mm-hmm. do I make the thing and then not actually wear it?
Yeah. Show myself?
So I had my husband do it like 20 times when we're at this wedding, like waiting for him to just do it. And I showed the footage to my daughter when I got home and she goes, Dad didn't do a good job. Just like I
know these kids, man, they know.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to train them how to like take photos. They can't just be like click.
They'll cut your feet off, they'll cut your head off. They'll just
like right, I wasn't right. even ready. My hair was blowing in my face or whatever. And I'm like, are those good? Yeah, they're fine. Let's go.
But they get
I'm
stars like, in their eyes too. They look at you like, but you're beautiful. What like who cares?
And no, it's
like,
don't. Well, they just don't want to do it.
Can we just get a better angle? Is that a thing? What do you mean? You look good. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really not looking at the same thing.
A lot of times I'm out of focus. I'm like, he's like, well, the sunset was so pretty. I was like, but it's about the dress that I'm wearing.
It's clicking on the sunset behind you and not you.
Yes. So I'm dark. I am dark. Everything in the foreground is dark and the sunset is like bright orange. I'm like, you can't even tell what color my dress is. Lovely.
Oh my god.
That one took a lot of editing to bring it back to a somewhat normal color.
Is that the Parthenon photos?
Yep. It took me forever to edit those. And some of them I was just
like,
this is
a beautiful sky.
It was. But I had to give light to the foreground and
yeah.
It really oversaturated the background. It is what it is. It was also like 40 degrees outside and
right.
It was so cold and I was in a short dress and I was freezing. So I was hoping it was better than it was. It was not. You win some, you lose some. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I like you. I'm not selling. People ask me all the time, are you gonna sell, the hand knitted blanket video that I did and put on my YouTube blew up and people are like, are you selling these? And I'm like, nope, but I taught you how to make one. Like, here's the tutorial. I'm not selling them. I made right. two and I've moved on.
I think
a long time ago.
I think Elizabeth, you're in like a good spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I
it's an outlet.
I like it. Mm-hmm. It's like once in a while I'll sell one and like pay for my habit.
Right.
Well, and I was going to ask, you make a ton of bags. So what do you do with all of them?
They're just sitting here.
Aww. You lift some and.
So yeah, I primarily make either for myself, my kids, or as gifts. Mm-hmm. And so when I start a live, a lot of times people will ask, is there a plan for this bag?
Because they're like, another one.
Like, love. And so I've made a few where I'm like, I have zero interest in keeping this bag, guys. Like, I'll put it in my shop. I just really wanted to make this pattern, or I had this idea in my head that I just really needed to get out there. And mm-hmm. you can have it. I don't need this in my, like, pile of bags.
I just needed the experience of selling it. I didn't need to keep it.
Yeah. I made, like, a stitch tote where he's mm-hmm. sewing all sorts of different things. And I had this perfect, like, rainbow ruler webbing that I put on it. And it just, like, was the bag that I wanted it to be. But I had zero interest in keeping it for myself.
Isn't that funny how that works out? Like, I make so many things and I just like don't even use them. They're yeah. like shoved in places.
Yeah. I have someone so in Canada many. Bought it actually. So we shipped it to Canada.
Maybe I know them. Probably not.
Is it Steve? Was it Steve?
He's always buying those bags. Like
random now tell Steve.
Me, now tell me, do people like are they running to your Etsy shop when you say, I'm gonna put this up? Like, does it go?
Because it's just one-offs.
Yeah, it goes pretty quickly if it's something people were interested in. Yeah. But if that's I wait awesome. Too long, they forget and they come to their senses.
Right. Well, that's the thing I wonder about when I was doing my TikToks and I'm just like, they keep saying like, are you selling these? And I'm like, yes, but tomorrow. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, they're going to forget. You know, you got to strike while the iron's hot when it comes to people like that because they're kind of like squirrel. Yeah. And then you lose them.
Yeah. I remember doing all of that when I had my bandana business, my pet boutique, and it was just constantly trying to like remind people new prints, new this, new that, you know, and I'm just like,
oh. Yeah, because they forget or there's somewhere else already listed or something.
Speaking it's of, like, if anybody needs dog bandanas, my shop is on a permanent sale until they're all gone.
Nice.
So many. I'm trying to offload them all. I need room on my shelves. Anyways, well, I mean, what's next for Elizabeth? Like, what's your next challenge you want to tackle? Because I feel like you're just constantly trying new things and mastering them.
Thank you. I have the idea in my head that I want to make like a leather bag, you know, like a legit bag with my industrial machine. So maybe that, but I was on the Tandy Leather website and I saw that they have like leather sold by the cut, like you would buy meat in the grocery store. And I was like, nope, not here yet. Like, I don't understand this too much. I actually don't want to know where the leather came from. And so I just closed out the window, which I never do on my phone. I have like a million open, but I actually physically clicked the X. I was like, we're not doing
that. You're like, I am not ready to go down that rabbit hole yet.
No. Oh my gosh. It was too much. It was a lot. And I didn't know that I had Tandy Leather so close. It's like 45 minutes from here.
Where are you at? What area of town?
I'm just outside of Chicago.
Okay.
So I have access to a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, around here. Yeah, I think we have a Tandy Leather in Nashville, actually, like not far from me either. So because I've looked it up and then I did the same thing. I got overwhelmed and I was like, I have to say the videos that you do. And for our listeners, if you're not following Elizabeth, you need to link in the description of the podcast. You have got to go follow her because even if you're not a bag maker, her videos are so satisfying to watch. It'll make you want to make bags even if you never do. And she makes it look so easy, and her footage, her music, it's all on theme, and they're fantastic. So kudos. I mean, seriously, you told me that you were going to be doing the Barbie bag, which we have to talk about. So you did the Barbie bag for the Barbie movie that just came out. And I was like, you were like, oh, I'm going to make one just to go to the, you know, to have for the movie. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see it. And then I saw the video and I was like, well, of course it's fabulous. I expect nothing less. But you embroidered on it. Like, you embroidered. Yeah. So she embroidered on, was it, I guess, a faux leather?
Yeah, it's just a vinyl.
Made this beautiful bag, and I was just like, oh, I was like, I want that. I guess you're gonna keep that one.
I mean, you can have it
to your daughter.
I mean, I have an embroidery machine and I have an industrial machine. I could totally one myself.
You should. You should. I mean, that's so people ask me while I'm sewing or on the videos or whatever, like, where did you get the hardware? Where did you get the
hardware?
And I tell them because it's not a business for me. I'm not going to get a scarlet letter or something in the community, but there are some bag makers who, like, that's their bread and butter. I will not accuse anyone of gatekeeping, but
I will.
They're very of, like, where they source things and and sort of want to keep that guarded because they want you to buy it from them, right? The moment you tell me, somebody like me, where you got your fabric, I'm going to go make it myself. So I don't care. I'll just tell people, like, go buy it from so-and-so. They have it on retail. I'm always sharing that information. And I was sewing live one day in particular, I remember, and a bunch of my followers came in and they were like, do you know where you can get your own vinyl printed? And I was like, no, I've never done that before. And then they started this little conversation in the chat, as they like often do, about gatekeeping and how people don't want to share where they're getting their vinyl printed because that's like, you know, whatever. And I like had one of my mama bear moments and I was like, okay, hold on a second. Like, no, guys, I'm like, someone telling you who their supplier is for where they're getting their original design printed is not gatekeeping. That is called a trade secret. So you're not going to like badmouth somebody for not telling you that.
Yeah.
Go and find somebody to print your stuff, right? But if they're not
telling you. They did the research and found somebody.
Yeah. If they're not telling you where they can buy like a certain print that's already being sold to consumers, then like that's a different discussion altogether. Yeah. And I knew who they were talking about too. So I was just like, no, like you can't do that. Right.
Well, it's hard because someone might be, they might've printed at 15 shops and then finally they found the right one and they spent all that money trying to find that person and they're just going to give it away.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
The lady that I bought the machine from yesterday, she had all of this like quilting cotton kind of fabric that she was never going to use because she now prints her own fabric. She has a company that she does all of her own designs, sends it to them, they print it, and then she does like, you know, mass, and then she can get it cut in the size that she wants. So she's like, I have my own supplier of who does all of my printing. And I'm like, that's awesome. I mean, so I'm not going to ask her who, because I'm not running a business or anything, you know, but
well, she, I mean, she's her figured own that out. Patterns, and it shouldn't be a threat to her because that's what people want is her designs, not necessarily the material that's printed on.
Yeah.
I understand when people have or like just Alibaba and stuff and they don't want to, you know, cross paths with that. I totally get that. But if it's just a retail store, I'm like, dude.
Yeah. Support it. Support.
Yeah, exactly.
Support your small business or whatever, you know? Cause you know, sometimes people ask and the person that they're asking is in a business to like produce and sell their finished product.
Right.
And they may not realize that the person asking is just wanting to be able to like know how to like get good quality hardware, you know, but they're not selling bags, you know? So, I mean, I kind of get it, but yeah, usually if someone's asking a company that someone that's running a company, they're not going to go through a wholesaler and buy in bulk, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. But I feel like one of the things that, and we've talked about this before, one of the things that's a little intimidating to me with bags is knowing the supplies. Like the supply list on some of these bag patterns, I'm like,
what the names are.
I just, garments, I buy 3 yards.
Yeah.
And it can turn into like pants, dress, shirt, whatever, pajamas. I don't know. It can be whatever, but I feel like with bags, you really got to plan. You really got to plan.
Or you just board. Buy
that. Yeah, you can just buy like that
and
too.
And then you want to sew. You can just grab from your ridiculous
stash. Yeah. That's a little scary.
You don't have a ton. Yeah. You need to go shopping.
No. No. I bought a lot of stuff at the So Magical Expo.
Yes, you did.
And I feel like I did a good job of like picking things that kind of could go together. like mix and match, like color schemes and stuff. But yeah,
but you have that big roll of black vinyl, right? So you definitely want red. You want fabric that like you can kind of ruin too. So don't use the good stuff yet.
Yeah, I mean, I have some stuff and some. I have some faux leather, like stuff.
Some Notorious Fabrics just started offering to print people's designs for them with their supplier. So Ooh. You can get like a roll of vinyl with Bethany's artwork
and just order tell me a that. Roll of vinyl.
I know.
Because that's the other thing is like, I really, if I'm going to spend the money on it, I really want it to be something unique that I have created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
You sell it?
No. I don't want to sell things. I'm like Elizabeth. I'm tired of selling things.
I know.
But you do your lives late at night. Like you're a night owl sewist.
Yeah.
So you go live in the evenings, I'm sure after kids have gone to bed and all of that. So.
Yes. It's I rely on TikTok for a lot of my footage. I didn't always make my videos from live footage, but I was like, I can't go live, separately film, making
That's
something.
That's the problem. That's what I find. Like is...
It's too much of my time that I don't already have. And so I figured out that if I recorded from that perspective, I could get decent footage and I could turn it into the video to post and sort of like kill two birds with one stone. Yeah. Right?
So you the can download your live.
Yeah.
And then edit
You have to wait for it to download. It takes a long time.
Yeah. Especially because you're live for hours.
Yeah. So it takes a long time. It takes a lot of space on my device. Then it takes a lot of time to edit out all of the non-sewing stuff. Like if I do the video by myself here, I like know what to record at this point and I can do it pretty quickly. But when you have to like filter through all that other stuff, or sometimes I just stop mid sewing and I'm like, what was I doing? What was like, why did I stop in the middle of the seam? So I have to edit out all that stuff. So I've tried to get a little better about my actual behavior while I'm live as well to just like make my life easier later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just started doing that as like a multitasking thing and That's I have smart. To rely on them for the footage, but I have been burned more than once where like the file was corrupt. I can't download it at all.
Oh,
whatever. Fine. And then another time it just skipped out on large portions. And so from like a 3-hour live, I got 45 minutes and I was like, I guess we're going to work with 45 minutes and have a longer reveal at the end. It's fine.
Interesting.
That's awesome. That's not cool. But 3-hour live.
That's Elizabeth.
That's Elizabeth. But you do your lives late at night. Like you're a night owl sewist.
Yeah.
So you go live in the evenings, I'm sure after kids have gone to bed and all of that. So
yes. It's been
That's when you need to tune in to Elizabeth's lives and hear her random stories and watch her make these bags, because that's when she's on late at night.
I definitely like to go on and do the bag sort of start to finish.
Yeah.
Which is why it takes so long. But I think that's also part of the reason why so many people stick around until the end, because they know that they'll like get to see me finish it. And so, I mean, it's just...
You can see the viewer count go up when you start to get to the end of the bag, because they want to see the birthing of the reveal, right?
I was like, where were you guys an hour ago?
Right?
No, it's also because people are liking when you're finishing up. They start liking, and so, like, more people randomly come in.
Yeah.
So, I'm like...
You got a little cheerleader team in there. Like,
I have a really
good... I gotta get to 100K!
The other night, yeah, they're so silly. There was one night they were like, if what would it take for us to get you to like paint your fingernails a certain color? And I was like, we were just like joking around. And so they decided 50K and I would have to paint my fingernails purple with orange dots.
Oh my God. You're like, whatever.
It wasn't like, let's do hot pink. It was like purple with orange dots. And I was like, all right, fine. We'll go to 50K likes and that's what I'll do. And so then I came back and my fingernails were painted purple. And I had done like a design with the dots where they were like cascading on the tips. And they were like, that's not fair.
you cheated.
I was like, oh, that's what I did. I did what you said. And they were like, if we
didn't say it had to be, could be
toes.
Cute.
And I'm like, we're not doing toes. Get out of here.
This isn't OnlyFans.
Yeah.
That's going to cost you.
Right? Yeah. Sure.
That's too funny. Do you typically just have like neutral nails?
Yeah, I don't really. I go through phases with my fingernails, I think, like in my life, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before my son was born, I was doing a different manicure every like other day or something. And I had this collection of nail polishes that have all now expired. And then so my thing is like, once it's chipped, I'm done. Like I cannot have the nail polish on.
Sounds like Bethany.
So that happens really quickly when you've got like a little baby that you're taking care of, right? And so I just stopped painting them and just kind of like fell out of the habit completely. And so recently I've done them a few more times, but it's just,
I do dip. I do my own dip because I have to have them look nice for filming for work. And I always stick to like neutrals, light colors, simple, nothing flashy.
They won't let her do anything fun.
Because it's distracting sometimes. Like you see some of these videos and no hate. Like I'm impressed with some of these nails that people have and they can still sew. I am so impressed.
Yeah.
But they're like bright colors or crazy designs or super crazy holiday designs or whatever. And I tend to look at their nails and not what they're sewing. And I feel like a lot of people do that when they're watching those videos. And so I get it. I get why, especially for work, it just needs to be simple and neutral. But the one time where I went, like, it was like between like December and the first part of January when I didn't have to film and I had more than 2 weeks. So I knew I could do something fun for the holidays on my nails. And so I went and I had them do like white with like blue because it's like going into winter. I didn't really want Christmassy because that was about to be over. So I wanted something more wintry. And she did them and I looked at them and they were glittery and everything. And I was just like, she's like, you love them? I was like, yes, they're so nice. And then I immediately left. I went to a different salon and had them take them off.
Oh,
I could not.
It was too much?
It was so much. I had not had any bright colors or glitter on my nails in years. And I look at it and I'm like, get it off. It's so gross. I can't. Like, oh, it just felt so foreign. I was like, this is not my hands. This is not my fingers. And I couldn't handle it. And so I immediately had him take it off. And then I just had him do like a simple red. And I was like, this is good. I guess. But it still was hard for me to have the red because it was so bold and dark. And I'm used to lights and neutrals and stuff. Now, I right now have tiny little butterflies on my nails.
Okay.
That I put on there because I didn't have to film for a little bit. And guess what? I had to redo some of my filming. So now there's one video that's going to have little butterflies on my nails, but I feel like that's pretty harmless. It's summer and it's not super noticeable. It's still a neutral color and they're teeny tiny iridescent. So they don't show up very well. And I don't know why I decided to do that. I just wanted to be rebellious. This is me being rebellious.
My husband is always like, you should go and get your nails done with Daniela. Do like a little girl's thing. And I'm like, can I just do them at home? Because I'm never happy when I get my nails done.
Oh, but yeah.
They I go get my pedicures. I'll let them do my toes. But other than that, I do my own. It's cheaper. I have to do them like every 2 weeks. And it's just expensive. And I've gotten really good at it. And then I can sit with my little TV tray in the living room, watch a movie or watch TV with my family while I do my nails. And it just takes me a couple hours and I do it late at night. And I can't go to the salon late at night when it's convenient for me. So this is what works for me. And I just have practiced and been doing them for 2 years now. So it's fun. But it's,
I think husbands exciting. Think we're going to treat ourselves, but it's really like, it's not treating me.
No.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he bring me know. Joy. He it used to bring that. Me joy, but not anymore. Sewing yeah. brings me joy.
It does. It does. I, y'all.
I know that feeling. I was like that with this one too.
It's like Christmas in July.
Well, yes. It is actually so good. Now you can start planning out your Christmas makes, your duffel bags that you want to make.
Mm-hmm. I may have gone online and tried to buy some more patterns last night, bag patterns. But it was like a European company, and my bank is weird, and it just kept saying, "You can't make this purchase," because
I'm like, wouldn't let you. They're like, Bethany, just wait, just get turn the machine on. Just turn the machine on first.
And I had my phone and I got the text. It's like, do you really want to make? I was like, yes, yes, valid, valid. And it still declined.
Like,
and
you're like, not in Europe, so.
And I even changed the dollar amount to USD. I'm like, I'm telling it where I'm at. This is my information.
What pattern are you trying to buy?
Yeah, why are you going to different countries? Like, we have so many good local, you know.
I didn't know it was. It was just, where did I see it? You know, I see it on Instagram, and mm-hmm. then I trickle into that world, and then I realize that Kasaya has done a tutorial on it as well, and so, and somebody was recommending their patterns because they're, anyways, it was Country Cow Designs?
Oh. Cow?
Yeah. Country Cow Designs. They're from the UK. Yeah,
but my bank is like a local small bank.
You have cows in Europe? I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh, stop.
Like on your faces are like,
is she really asking that question right now? Need a geography really lesson.
I've which never one heard are you trying to
buy? Huh?
Which pattern one? Were you trying to buy?
I had four in my cart. Oh. There's that new square like duffel weekender. Okay.
It's the travel light duffel.
Mm. Yes.
I've made that one a couple times.
Maybe it was your video.
Cow Designs.
There was a backpack, there was a box bag pattern, and then there was like a simple tote. And I thought, you know, that one might be the good one to start with. I can make a tote. I don't need a pattern to make a tote, but I'm new to this. And I just was like, whatever. And it wasn't expensive. So I added it to my cart. I had four in my cart, but the weekender square box week. Oh my gosh. I was like, the travel light. Yes.
Travel
yes.
light duffel bike. Oh, that one's
isn't
really
it,
cute.
That one's awesome. Isn't it?
I shared that when I saw it. I was like, I want to make that. And I posted it on my Instagram stories. And I was like, should I make this? And so many people respond. I'm not used to people actually responding to me on social media. But so many people were like, yeah, yeah, make that one. Make that one. And then the Black Sewing Network was like, we're going to have a sew along with this bag. And I was like, what are you guys doing? Yeah, it's great.
They got some cute, but there's a backpack too that I thought was really cute.
Is it the Seadron backpack? I've made that one.
Yeah, it has like the zipper with like the split down the front.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's not. Oh, okay.
Do you know which one? I don't have my phone in here.
They have really good patterns though. For anybody,
you get like a written tutorial, you get the video tutorial, and then they even put in the description, like, if you want another video of seeing someone else make it, like Kasaya, they linked Kasaya's tutorial. Like, she's done a lot of tutorial videos of her sewing up their patterns. And so,
yeah, and I would maybe just pick one and then just see how it goes, because you might not even like their instructions or the way that they, like, we don't know yet, right? That's the thing with bag. You know, just pattern companies in general. I usually buy one.
And I will.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Okay.
I like the details.
End up in like another, like, you know, goat country designs or pig country designs. I don't know. If you just don't know, right? They might all, there might be one for every animal out there.
Oh my gosh. You're too funny. I thought the name was kind of funny. I wasn't really sure what I was like, country cat, what?
But no. She just wants you to buy her patterns.
No,
I have her patterns.
Yeah. Well, I give them to her for free, so. Fine.
It's fine. It's only fair.
Whatever.
Well, this has been fun. I feel like I've gotten to know you so much better, and I am so excited that you are new to like an industrial as well as me.
I'm going to be watching to see you use it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be a bit. I've told everybody I have to be comfortable with the machine before I'll be live with the machine because I'm definitely multitasking when I am live and I'm not going to sew over my finger for you guys.
True. I did that once. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. So that's smart to not want to sew live on the industrial until you are comfortable and aware, you know, where it becomes like second nature.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I totally get it.
The Time Master over there. Yes.
Yes. You know, I was looking at it and the foot pedal, albeit is huge. It is kind of on the left side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I will
use my right, but I move my body over. Like I don't sit in front of my
machine.
I sit so the needle is in front of me.
It's my foot. My foot pedal.
You can also move your foot pedal. Did you know that?
Can you?
But you can move it.
Yeah.
I may.
On the bottom.
You just have to figure out what's comfortable for you.
The industrials I've used, the old ones I've used before, the foot pedal was more on the right. So you kind of sat more in front of the machine with the needle kind of over in front of your like left shoulder, you know, kind of thing. But this one, the foot pedal is all the way over to the left. So the
maybe
right side
of left-handed too.
Like maybe.
That's a possibility.
Maybe. I don't know. But
that's probably why you can move it. It's just because of righty-lefty stuff.
It's just so pretty. I'm just going to sit in here and stare at it today and then not be able to use it. I just want to. Well, this is great. I'm excited for us to learn these things together, Elizabeth.
Yes, same.
If you have tips and learn things, then you know I probably don't know. Just please share.
Sure. You can text them up all night, basically.
Yeah. I'm a night owl, so is too. So I totally get it. I totally get it. Well, coming up next for our podcast next week, we have Julian Creates. So Julian, he's a Nomi pattern designer. He makes some really awesome patterns and does some creative sewing and lots of bold colors. So we're really excited to talk to him next week. And then as always, guys, you know, you can follow us along on social media, but be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. We do have our videos of our podcast over there as well, and I know you know how to listen to them on our streaming channels too. Ashley, say and subscribe. Please subscribe. We are really trying to grow that platform, and we're having fun with it over there. Also, join our newsletter. I mean, it's once a week you'll get an email from us, from Ashley, letting you know who's coming up next. So like you would have gotten one today to hear from Elizabeth and know a little bit more about her before you tune in. And then sometimes we have some other little things that we're working on that we're going to be sending out, like freebies and extra content that's going to help you guys.
I have a 22-page something ready to go.
Ooh.
Yeah.
With lots of sewing information.
Yeah. 22 pages. I just finished it.
It's a small novel and it's very helpful and resourceful and you guys are going to love it. So that's something else that we've Ashley's been working on. Ashley just hits the ground running with some of these tasks and I'm so grateful for her because they are not my wheelhouse. This is why we make a good team, girl. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining us. We've absolutely loved chatting with you today. And as always, guys, be sure you go follow her. Her videos are just gonna suck you in and make you want to make all the things. All right, guys. Well, until next week when we speak to Julian, I hope you guys have a wonderful week and happy sewing. Bye.